Does Bieber even know where Carolina is? Like, how is he going to find his boy, Freddie?
Freddie Anderson, leaving him high and dry. That's his guy. For every UFC event, Freddie's in the background. AM34,
obviously AM34 and him are buddies, but, like, Freddie was always a fly on the wall there.
Every video coming in.
There it is.
Hey, there's Freddie in the background.
And then the guy with the giant beard, too.
Yeah, I love how Jumbo gets in there in Vegas. I thought he was in Switzerland. Doesn't he live in Switzerland all the time?
He looked like, and believe me, as much as people having fun with that, I would have killed to have been on that bus. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
You're on the bus with, like, I can't remember the famous lady who shot it on her Instagram.
Oh, I don't even know. I didn't even know that.
You didn't see that? It was like...
No,
was
I didn't see that.
Matthews, Bieber, and in the background, you see Jumbo Joe, like, way at the back of the bus, but it was like a Kardashian. I don't think it was a Kardashian, but somebody like that.
Is it a Jenner or something like that? JP, do you know Al's brother? You guys are younger than we are.
Know that these guys are young and
they should know that.
Supposed to be with the times.
Yeah, well, it's not.
What's going on, Al's brother? I mean, I'm 100% sure it was like, I think it was Jenner.
Okay, well, if it's one of the Jenners, then yeah, that's
because she's buddies with like Bieber, and they were like partying.
Okay.
And then in the back of the, maybe it was like Snapchat or something.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I guarantee it's not Snapchat. In the background, his mug.
I guarantee you it wasn't Snapchat.
I don't know
if that exists anymore.
It doesn't? I don't even know.
I don't know. I think TikTok just blew everything out of the water,
maybe it
basically.
It was like TikTok or something, but it was like, I saw it. Somebody sent it to me the next day saying Jumbo having a time.
Yeah. And I did not know that someone famous had shot that. I just saw like a video I never paid attention to it.
Like, I can't remember her name.
Someone will write it in.
Jenner, yeah.
Yeah, if it was one of the Jenners, then it was Kendall Jenner, according
there you
to Chris.
Go. Yeah, Kendall Jenner.
So
there
I don't know which one there's, because there's two Jenner girls.
Yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. But
I don't know. I'm not privy to the young and
there you go. Kendall Jenner. Look at that, Matthew. Look at Freddie Anderson hanging out with Kendall
That's
Jenner.
That's what I mean. Now he's in Carolina. It's
That's
a
not
lot
gonna
different
work for
animal
him.
There. Maybe he's going to have to call O for tips.
Well, listen, they've been, all jokes aside, that's an upgrade. Yes. Carolina has won playoff rounds.
And here's the other thing.
Like, with all due respect to the Leafs, Carolina's been better than the Leafs had the last 2 years.
And what was pointed out to me, and it's so true, Carolina defensively doesn't give up much. You look at the goaltenders that have rolled through there, they've had statistically a ton of success. And that's Mrazek. That's James Reimer. That's Nedeljkovic, who ended up in Detroit.
Yep.
So he's going to go to a situation, a lot like Toronto's defense got a lot better this last year. He's going to be very comfortable. They're going to win a lot of games there. So good for Freddie.
Yeah, Freddie, if he's healthy and rolling, and I don't think this market ever caused him a lot of problems, though. Like, I don't... You know, he was a beloved guy right when he got here. Yes, the playoff performances got a lot of play.
Right, right.
But I never thought like he couldn't step up to the moment at all. Like what he went through last year, I don't know what that was. Yeah. You know, why he wasn't available, why it took so long. You could sense frustration coming from the Leafs.
Right.
And Campbell blew past him and the rest was history. He was not going to get another opportunity. But I don't think that was, you know, Toronto's too tough and I can't get through this now.
Right, right.
That was more about, I think, his own physical status, maybe mental status, the contract coming up.
Yep.
But I don't think Toronto swallowed him up at all.
No.
So I don't think he needs to go to Carolina to kind of get out of the spotlight, and that's going to help him. But it probably won't hurt him either.
No, he came
right?
from...
It's not going to hurt him.
You go from Anaheim to Toronto, really, as far as opposites, as far as
coverage awareness
everything.
And
then right back to, not right back, 5 years later to Carolina, where the coverage is leaner, you know, a lot different. So, you know, he's going to flourish there. The biggest challenge, I said it on Trade Center, or free agency, sorry, was Mrazek's on the clock now, because now you're in the big show here, like as far as coverage. Not that Toronto can't defend and win a lot of games in front of him. It's just on a Monday when they don't play till Thursday, there's still going to be 50 microphones in front of you. There's still going to be people watching practice. Like, it's going to be a different animal for him. But it sounds like he's the type of guy who has a little bit of chip, a little bit of swagger. He's either going to welcome that or go the other way. And there's no margin for error. This is a guy who's got to play in a tandem in a high-pressure situation. Like, they've got
with
to continue.
With a ton of expectations.
That's the thing.
Right. Although the expectations, I don't know how high they actually are compared to where they've been in years past. Like, this market has soured on this team a lot.
Right.
And it's, I think it's because it's just chipping away. The disappointment just chips away at you. The fact that you're up 3-1 on the Habs and you throw it away in the fashion they did.
And you win the North. Like, you had almost a picture-perfect season last
year.
It went your way. Matthews was rolling. Martin was rolling.
You pick up Foligno at the deadline. He's wearing his dad's hat. It's like, this is awesome. Let's get rocking
and
here.
And we all braced ourselves, including us in the market, and was like, okay, this looks like a team that can get out of Canada, and let's see what the chips fall. And then it doesn't happen.
You feel more cheated this year than years past.
Probably,
like, you do. Even last year in the bubble, I don't even know how to constitute what that whole thing was. You know, we were early days pandemic. I don't know how much focus there was on it anyway.
Yeah.
It's a 5-game play-in series. They should have beat Columbus. They didn't. But going back a couple years ago against Boston, the two back-to-back years against Boston, I think most reasonable Leaf fans thought they've got a shot.
Right.
But wouldn't be surprised if they don't win here.
Right.
And yet still chips away at your disappointment.
Right.
Adds to the chips on that part of the table in terms of the disappointment. But there was still optimism coming out of it.
You know, got like a good team. 21,
young. They're figuring it out.
Yeah.
That doesn't fly anymore. Right. There's no, I don't sense, and I've been talking to a ton of Leaf fans now that we're starting to open up and we're contacting more people and coming in contact with more people, that you know, it's just right there and they're going to break through.
Right.
That doesn't mean it won't happen. And Dubas and company are clearly banking on it because they're effectively bringing back the band here. And they're hoping and waiting for that opportunity to show up and then to break through on it. But I don't know if the expectations come September and October are going to be as high as they were a year ago or even 2 years ago.
Well, no.
Like, I think there's a lot of cynicism right now in Toronto.
Sure.
So there's the expectations aren't through the roof. But the attention is still as high as ever.
Sure.
And the pressure is higher than ever in a weird way. Because it's like, all right, we're still here. Still a massive market, massive coverage, but it's like a little bit darker and jaded. So it's like, let's see what you got here. Mrazek's walking into that.
But that's what I mean. Like, the type of pressure, it's different. And, you know, as people say, like, I saw people talk about Edmonton, like Kenny Holland, he's gone in on a lot of things. Well, you got to keep 97 happy. Well, same scenario. 34's got what?
We've got 3 years left.
3 years left on his deal.
Yep. Like,
you got to figure that out, and they've got to take the next step here. And there's no guarantee that Austin doesn't say, "Hey, I want to be a lifetime Leaf," because
that's what you have to hope for.
But the point being is, you're looking at it. There's a guy who's a 60 goal scorer, or pace of goal scorer. You know, you've got a real talented team up front. You got to find a way to break through. And then you go back to the traditional, like, Atlantic, where Tampa's there. Florida got better on paper. Is Montreal going to regress? Well, I think Bergevin's got some money to spend. Looks like he just spent some money on
Mike Hoffman's coming
Hoffman,
in.
Which,
but Dano out, Weber out.
Yeah.
And
Price knee surgery, where are you at?
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's a lot of moving parts. Ottawa's going to be better. Like, it'll be interesting to see how this all unfolds. But you're right. I don't know if the expectation is as high, or it's like, you go and earn it with me as a fan. Is that what you get?
I think that's exactly what's happening. I think the city of Toronto and Leaf fans are actually evolving here in a way and morphing into something that I have not witnessed really in a quite some time, if not at any point in my life, where there's a chip on the fan's shoulder here. Got a New York vibe to it, Philly vibe to it. Like, I'm not just going to give you the benefit of the doubt anymore.
Right.
In fact, I'm going to be rattled. I'm going to be jaded. I'm going to be upset. I'm not going to accept this, that, or the other. And I think that's healthy.
Right.
I think that's long overdue, quite frankly. Like, lots of turnover, coaches, GM, presidents, owners, players. Fact of the matter is, if you're a Leaf fan, it's the team, and they haven't won a playoff round in 17 years.
Right.
I think you'd be crazy to keep coming to the table and saying, love these guys, love everything about it. This is the year it finally happens. You hope.
Right.
But
so what you're saying is, from the people you've talked to for years, and this is, I've noticed this, I've been here 10 years, it's unconditional love no matter what.
And for a lot of people, it is.
But maybe this time around, maybe, we'll see, because tomorrow he could have three moves, and I mean Kyle, that go, there it is. You know, this team's headed in that direction.
Absolutely.
Again.
Always subject to change.
Right. But right now, with how the team looks and how, you know, I guess how cheated or jaded it is, it's not unconditional love now. It's like, hey, I love this player. I love this. I love that. Or right now, the fans I talk to that are Leafs fans is like, regular season, no problem. Playoffs, little different scenario. That's they've separated.
Absolutely.
They've separated.
And the whole regular season success has become stale. Like there was a long period of time where that was really all people were hoping for.
Right.
Which in retrospect is also kind of sad that a market of this size, a team of this history,
right,
went as long as they did from the lockout all the way up until 2013 without making the playoffs. Where at that point it was like, hey, it's a victory if you're a playoff team. And then the first few years, you know, of the Matthews, Marner, Nylander era, it was just goodwill, goodwill, goodwill. This is awesome. They're back. They're a playoff team.
Right.
Regular seasons are so much fun. Playoffs is a bonus. Now it's not.
Right, right.
And yet what you just said about the division, they're in tough here. Like, they're in tough. Like, Tampa is not exploding the way people were anticipating they would.
Right.
They're still the best team in the league, in my opinion.
Well, sure. I mean, because we talk about the spine of a team. None of those guys are gone.
No.
If anything, they just doubled down with points contract today. Guy makes $9.5 million.
So he took the bridge, and all we heard was, yeah, no, I understand. It's a bridge.
Right.
But then he's going to blow past everyone else.
Right.
Mitch Marner making $1.4 million more than him.
Right, right.
Austin Matthews making $2 million more. Yeah. And Matthews has 3 years left. This guy's got eight.
Yeah.
You know, no, it's, I know. Actually, he's got nine, I believe, because he's got a year left on the RFA deal.
So, yeah, I get it.
It's just crazy.
Tampa, like you say, there are going to be teams, but I will caution fans who are frustrated right now. Let's see what this team looks like in Toronto when the work has been done, because I personally think Kyle has a lot more work to be done. Like, you know, I know he's going to have to move some deck chairs around, but he can't be sitting there going, you know what? We lost Hyman, but this Michael Bunting, that's the guy. Like, he may like him and he might say, but maybe Bunting's a nice fit on the third line and ends up, you know, he scored 10 goals, I think, in 21 games last year. Maybe he ends up being a 20 goal scorer. But I'm not 100% convinced that Kyle's going to say, you know, Hyman's replacement heir apparent is this guy. Like, I think he's got a lot more up his sleeve. Personally,
I think you're right.
I feel that.
And
way.
And that's why it's always subject to change.
Right.
And listen, once the season starts, there's going to be excitement, and the season is still relevant. It's still meaningful, and it's going to be a dogfight.
Yeah.
As it's currently built, I think they're a playoff team. Like, don't get me wrong. I don't think they're some awful team. I don't even think they're mediocre. I still think they're a high-end team. But the history of falling apart has been chipping away. And now, you know, we had Kyle on the last hour. They couldn't get in on Nick Foligno. They didn't have the money to do that. Couldn't keep up with Hyman. So you're moving on from guys who are good players. And you're replacing them with diamonds in the rough. You're hoping are diamonds in the rough.
Right.
But you're not replacing these good quality players with guys that you know are going to give similar production.
Well,
you're hoping for it. So
you're right. It was interesting, though, that Kyle said we're going to have almost a reset in the market after this initial push, right? Like, a guy now that I've circled and maybe could be way off on this, but Nick Ritchie. Like, if Foligno goes to Boston and they don't qualify Ritchie, like, that's the type of player they need on that left side. Big, heavy guy, played second power play minutes, I believe, in Boston. You know, I think he takes poor penalties sometimes and gets a little ahead of himself, but he's got bite and chip, and he can score. And, you know, maybe that's somebody that the Leafs are in that second wave. Again,
right. You
know, I don't want to start rumors or anything.
No, but that would make sense.
But when
like,
I
fit
start
in
to
with
look
that.
At it, like, that's, you and I were talking off air, you know, Edmonton goes and gets Fogel. Like, I like Fogel. He's
I
a
do
local
too.
Kid. He's,
yeah.
you know, like...
Friend of the show. We love Warren.
Friend of the show. We love Warren. But that's, like, Edmonton, where they overspent, you don't understand on certain things. You're like, Fogel makes sense on the left side in Edmonton because they haven't had, past the top four or five, they haven't had guys that they could trust to put out there. Fogel would be a guy that solves, you know, a question in Edmonton on that left side for them farther down.
Right. And let's be honest, this is a topic of discussion that I think is fairly consistent throughout the country right now.
Right.
Ottawa being a different story because they're behind the rest of the group.
Right, yeah.
You know, they're still growing and they're still developing, and the expectation is not there for them right now that they'll be a playoff team or make any impact in the playoffs.
Right.
But the Habs are going through it right now, you know, with the draft over the weekend. Now Danoa's left, Weber's retired. They're in a bad spot, like in their own market. They're taking a lot of hits.
Yep.
Jimmy Benning in Vancouver are just there. It seems clear they're doing everything they can just to make the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're not thinking 3-5 years down the road. It's like, let's just get in, throw everything at the wall. Well, I think Edmonton has a similar feel to that as well.
You're right. They had cap space to spend, and they're doing it. Like, I liked Jimmy Benning's moves, personally, because he flushed out his own bad contracts, basically. But Ekman-Larsson, I think, needed a resurgence. Like, there's a guy who I think is he's an upgrade on Alex Edler for me.
Yeah.
So you're going to...
You're paying a lot more.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Like, they did eat some of it, but it's still a lot of money.
He's at $7 million, basically, what they're paying. But, you know, Connor Garland, like, that guy's a pain in the ass to play against.
Yep.
And, you know, they signed him. I thought it was a bit rich, but you got to pay the piper. Like,
once you've acquired him, he's got the leverage on you.
Exactly. But I think Vancouver's a better team today than when you and I spoke, you know, a couple weeks ago.
I think Edmonton is as well. Like, how substantially better is up for debate.
See how it unfolds, because that's the thing, like... Everyone's like, well, that right side and CC and the analytics. You're right. Like, analytically, some people's heads exploded over some of these moves. I get it. But this is why I believe that you still have to factor in the word intangibles. Because if you didn't, Tony DeAngelo would be right at the top of everyone's list. Because analytically, he's very strong.
Mm-hmm.
From a character standpoint, different. There's a lot of teams going...
Not touching them,
thank you.
Absolutely,
no
fly list.
So it's just interesting to see. I think Edmonton's a better team on paper, but we'll see how it unfolds. They need more depth. And their goaltending. You're coming back...
Still got Koskinen and Smith.
You're coming back with the same group that you went with last year.
Right.
I think there's an upgrade that needs to be there.
Yeah, and then, you know, you got Calgary. They throw a lot of money at Blake Coleman. I think it's an overpayment, but he's an impactful player. He's a good player. You know, like, we just saw what he did 2 years in a row in Tampa. We saw it before in Jersey. Like, he'll give you that contract. Feels like the Hyman deal. Like, I think it's an overpayment. I think it's a little bit too much in terms of term, but I know exactly what I'm going to get out of him.
Right.
You know, it's not a guy who is consistently a 10 goal scorer, has 1 year where he scores 30 and I pay him like a 30 goal scorer, and then I'm like, oh, now he's back to 10. No. Coleman and Hyman will give you the exact same thing that he gave in Tampa, that Hyman gave in Toronto. They're just carrying it to a different
predictability.
Market.
Predictability.
You know exactly what you're getting.
And it is overpriced, in my opinion.
Yeah. But, too much money, too much term.
But you have to, like, both of these organizations identified, I'm more talking about Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
Edmonton's like, we need somebody to go get the puck who's they're basically looking at Matthews and Marner, and Matthews and Marner are ultra talented, and they're going, we need, you know, if somebody wants to play with Draisaitl and McDavid, to go get the puck and go to the net with your stick on the ice and be a pain in the ass to play against. Like, Edmonton paid for a need. And the other thing, everyone questioned the Keith move. I also, to me, it spoke to where the immaturity of their back end, where they're like, we got to overpay for a guy has intangibles, has a resume to settle this group down. And that's where, you know, maybe Chicago, not maybe, Kenny Holland admitted it. If I wanted Chicago to eat salary, I would have had to pay more. And so he's like, I had to eat the salary, but I think he's going to be effective in our dressing room, especially if they're going to have now Barry, Bouchard, and CeCe on that right side.
Right.
Keith is going to be...
Him and Nurse are going to have to carry a lot.
Carry a lot.
You know, they're going to have to carry a lot for sure. Dougie Hamilton, who is number one on the free agent frenzy list, courtesy of TSN. We've been waiting for this to become official. It is now. He signed with New Jersey 7 years at $63 million, so $9 million a year.
Don't they have a $9 million defenseman
there
already?
They have PK there right now. I think he's 9.5.
He is 9.5. I was being, you know, a smart
facetious
ass
there. But
like, it speaks to me of how PK has dropped off, personally. That they've got to go and get a right shot $9 million defense.
Oh, yeah. PK's got no future there. I mean,
he's got 1 year left on his deal. And I wonder if now that Dougie Hamilton's there, New Jersey goes, we're open for business. We'll chew on some salary. Take this guy off our hands.
Yeah. I don't know when the next buyout window is, but I wonder if they even just buy him out. I don't know if he's got a no-movement clause. It may not.
What team would pay for P.K. Subban at a lot less
now? All you can get is 50%, though, so it's still 4.75. Does he play at 4.75 million anymore? I mean,
depends.
He's
on
close.
Depends
I think
on
he's
where.
Close.
Depends
yes.
on where. Yeah.
I think he's, but that's still a lot of money. Now it's a 1 year commitment, but it's. Listen, the money's being spent throughout the league and on the back end. Seth Jones got 9.5 after he was acquired. Now Hamilton's getting 9. Circle back to Toronto and Morgan Rielly. I think those two deserve more. Will get more. But Rielly, I don't see him taking under 7.
Right.
Yeah, I don't see him staying here for anything under $7 million a year.
Darnell Nurse in Edmonton, same type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, big minutes, had a career year of points. They want to extend him. He's their number one guy. You know, Darnell Nurse has to be looking at that and going,
I want 8, 8.5,
I think. If it's not something with an 8 in it, maybe it is with a 9. But ultimately, all it does is drag that marketplace up. And Morgan Rielly has to be in that conversation. Where do you fall in that conversation with all of those other guys who just got paid?
Yeah.
If you're like I personally think that Seth Jones might be the top guy out of all that. You know,
I agree with that. I think with his age, his size, his skating ability, he did not have a great year last year, relatively speaking. He did not.
But
I love him as a player.
Right,
I always have.
So
I am curious who he's gonna play with. Like Zach Werenski's not waiting for him in Chicago.
Yeah, exactly.
That's going to be interesting. And now it's all on him. At 9.5, they paid a lot of, you know, they paid a lot of assets to get him.
Yeah.
But that's interesting. Hamilton at $9 million a year for 7 in New Jersey. Sounds like Zach Hyman will join us later in the hour.
Nice.
Yeah, so the grappler is grappling, and I guess Hyman will join us around 5:40.
Wow.
So we'll catch up with Zach. We'll get his take on the whole process, how it got to a point where he knew he was leaving Toronto and why Edmonton makes sense. And going from Matthews to likely McDavid's wing is a pretty decent transition, I would say.
I wonder if 97 was it involved in the courting process.
We'll ask him. We'll see. I would be shocked if he did. I believe they trained together. Aren't they both? Are they both Gary Roberts guys?
Yeah.
I think they might be. So we'll see. We'll catch up with Zach a little bit later in the hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for the
Wheel of Misfortune.
Well, there he is, the dulcet tones of Al's brother, and we're in studio, so we're looking at Al's brother. We're talking to him in between the breaks, and it's great to see him, and he looks faster.
More nimble?
He looks nimble.
Yeah.
And, like, I haven't seen him since he ran the 40, since he ran the 200.
Yeah.
And he looks like he's in shape, and the Olympics, are they inspiring you, Al's brother, or...
I would say so. I can't wait for the running event to get going so I could stack up and see how fast it took for them to do the 200 compared to O and I.
Yes, that is going to be great content next week, I believe. We will be all over that for sure. But it's good to have you here, as always, JP, doing his thing behind the board. And the grappler and those wondering, would we continue with the wheel or not? Of course, we have to.
Yeah.
So why don't we spin it? We'll see what we're playing on a Wednesday afternoon.
No filter?
You have no filter.
That's
quite obvious.
That's true. That's
a
good thing.
You say whatever comes into your mind.
Yeah.
You don't really modulate your feelings at all.
Yeah, it's a good thing for me, but it's a bad thing for water.
I think we kind of tipped our hand there. We went to Al's brother basically before we spun the wheel, but it's all good because we're going to play the filter here. You've got some things you want to potentially tweet out into the Twitter sphere, and we're going to tell you to either send it, end it, or delete your account. There's three options based on whatever you have to say or whatever you're about to tweet. So it's very exciting. It's good to be in here and see Al's brother, and now we can – and Noodles is here, so – watch yourself, man.
Yeah, I may scissor kick you through the glass here if you start acting up. But.
He's not at home anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
So any crazy comments means it could be a man conversation outside of the studio.
Yeah.
What do you have for us?
Well, I purposely left out all the goalie conversation so that didn't happen.
As you should.
I do have... So the first one I got here, the Maple Leafs are a worse team today than they were at the end of the season.
I got to send that. I have to send it because Hyman and Foligno, even though Foligno was injured.
Right.
You know, like the
on paper.
On paper. Yes. And are we considering Freddie healthy compared to a healthy Mrazek? If so, I would take Freddie over Mrazek. I would certainly take Hyman over Bunting. I would take Foligno over, you know, whoever else they're on the verge of signing. So, yeah, I'm going to send that tweet.
I want to put it in your drafts because I'm not going to say flush it, and I'm not going to kick you out of the building. But this is an incomplete project. Like, you know, it's easy to judge somebody on, like, one day, but all of a sudden, tomorrow, Kyle wakes up and has a massive trade, and he's got cap room. I think it's incomplete. If we are looking at that roster and it's, what, September 18th and we're in here, then I would say send it away. Right now, it's just too incomplete for me because there's no way Kyle's going, I'm 100% comfortable with this group right now.
No, not a chance. They still have roughly $4 million in cap space, too. So there's still some money to do something, but as of today, I look at Bogosian too. They still
got
to fill
right.
That
Bogosian's
role.
Gone, and okay, you got some money. Are you going to replace Hyman? Like that's not going to happen between now and unless you're doing something drastic. But that would mean you're subtracting something else from the lineup. Like if you're making a monster deal, you're talking about guys higher up the roster. In terms of patchwork with free agency, I don't know, and I'm not going. I'm not expecting come night one I look at it and say it's the as good of a team, but that doesn't mean that they're going to be an awful team. It doesn't mean that by the end of the season you don't improve. You have internal improvement. Maybe young guys grow and you know you're healthy and Campbell does it again and you're all good, right? Like it is incomplete. Of course it is. But as of right now, I would say send it. What else do you have, Els, brother?
I'm getting to a point in the Eichel sweepstakes where I think the Sabres may be best served to hang on to him.
Well, I'm going to end it because if that's your mentality, why did you move on from Reinhardt? Why did you move on from Ristolainen? Like younger guys who developed within
the
team.
Up there.
You said those guys are gone. You're committed to being awful. You're going to be awful with or without Eichel. I mean, they've been awful with Eichel for 5 or 6 years, but I don't know if it's in your hands anyway. Yes, he's under contract, but this guy desperately wants out.
He does.
Like, he really wants to leave Buffalo.
I'm saying send it. The only reason being is I don't know if there's a package out there that would make it. Like, you're going to lose that trade.
You probably are going to lose the
trade. Because if you get a first-rounder, there's no guarantee where you're going to pick or what. And then if it's for prospects and picks, we always see that where, for the most part, the best player in the trade, that team wins it. So, you know, Buffalo has to be careful if they just trade him for the sake of trading him and you're not sure about his neck and all of that. Like, there's just way too many X factors for me that they might go, you know what, we might just sit on this. We know we're going to be awful, but either he comes around or we find the perfect deal. You don't force it right now.
Yeah, and I don't know if that exists, right? Like, the Kings at one point are considered to be heavy. They're probably out of it with the Dano signing. Vegas, they opened up a bunch of room when they traded out Fleury, but then they used that today and went and made a bunch of signings. So they seemingly look like they might be out of it. So who's left? Montreal's got some cap space, but we'll see if they can do something. Maybe New York, Anaheim, I suppose. But I just don't know if, you know, there's the package there. I think the difference between trading away Reinhardt and trading Ristolainen, they got value for those guys. So it was worth it for them. They're not going to get the value for Eichel. I think they'd be better off keeping him.
Well, I kind of get the impression like it's over, you know, that relationship has just come to an end. But listen, he's still a very good player, and he's a young player, and he's on a decent contract if he's healthy and playing well. He's on a really good contract. You got him for years at $10 million. Like, that's doable totally for number one center. It just doesn't seem consistent with what their plan has been recently and what appears to be the marching order, you know, from everyone in Buffalo.
Yeah.
What else do you have, Els, brother? One more.
The Toronto Blue Jays should consider moving Nate Pearson to get an impact starter at the deadline.
What? Randy Johnson? Are you sure?
Absolutely.
The grappler might crawl through the glass here.
He's the next
Randy Johnson.
He is supposed to be the next Randy Johnson. And Alec Manoah, I believe, is the current Nolan Ryan. So it's all good for the grappler. And they won earlier today. Who do you think you're getting for Nate Pearson right now, Els, brother?
Well, like, realistically, if you're making a deal and you're including Nate Pearson, you're hoping that it's for Max Scherzer. Like, this is what this deal would be predicated on. If you're going heavy in for Max Scherzer, who would be an an absolute stud to add to the front. He's your true ace who has that playoff success. I think Nate Pearson would have to be involved in this deal, and I'd be willing to pull the trigger.
Well, yes, I would as well. I don't think that's going to get it done. If you're Washington right now, I believe Scherzer has 10 and 5 rights anyway. So is he going to come up here? Right, like he's got control over the deal. He is through the media indicated he wants to go to the West Coast. Giants, Dodgers, Padres, all currently better than the Blue Jays. I just don't know what the value of Nate Pearson is right now. Like, he's very injury prone. He's been in the system for a while. It appears as if he's leaking towards a bullpen option. Bullpen options at that age are not guys that are going to get you Scherzer. Like, I think it's going to be Pearson plus. So would I do the deal? Yes, I'll send it, but I can't legitimately send it because I don't think that's going to be enough.
Yeah.
I think we're overvaluing Randy Johnson.
Well, the grappler loves him to death.
But, yeah.
You know what? Yeah, you're overvaluing him for you know,
for Scherzer.
That, for Scherzer.
You know, like, and I know Scherzer's older now and...
Delete it.
I think it's tough to get a read on the value of Nate Pearson right now. Like, he, just based on his injuries and where, even when he's come up, he's not looked comfortable. He's still got the stuff. He's got value. It's not as if you couldn't work out a deal, but for that magnitude of a player, I don't know if you can get that.
I think he's still considered like a top 50 prospect. He was on Keith Law's top 50, so he's still considered a high-end prospect despite the struggles this season. And what he showed over the last couple of years proves like he can be a stud if he can get there.
He's got the tools. He's got the tools. He needs the toolbox. But, yes, I would be willing to make a deal featuring Pearson for an impact arm if it comes with control. I would send that. I just don't know if he is valued to that level as of today compared to where he would have been certainly last year. Al's brother bringing the heat.
Way to work.
Filter doing his thing behind the glass. And it's great to see Al's brother, JP. I keep saying that, but it feels kind of weird to be in here.
It is.
Like, we're in studio for the first time in a long time. I don't know when we'll be back. Hopefully relatively soon. I mean, we're certainly in a different spot today than we were a year and a half ago.
But it is nice.
It's nice to get
in. Refreshing breakup
of people.
The pace that we've been on for a year and a half.
For a long, long time.
Yeah.
All right, Zach Hyman, it's official. He's on his way to Edmonton. He signed a 7-year deal, and he's going to join us. And we'll look back on his time in Toronto, what excites him about going to Edmonton, at which point did it become clear to him that he's not going to return here?
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a local guy, grew up a Leaf fan.
I can give him some Edmonton tips.
You can give him some Edmonton tips. You can tell him where to live, what to look for, how to party out there.
Exactly.
All the good things that I'm sure his wife wants to hear as they move out to Edmonton. That's what you want, is advice from Noodles.
Yeah.
Zach Hyman coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. I would say Zach Hyman going to Edmonton, not a surprise.
No.
Right? I mean, it's been out there for a while.
It feels like it was out there for like a month and a half. Like, yeah. I had all of my idiot buddies from back home calling me and be like, yeah, I'm hearing that the Hyman, I'm like, all of a sudden you're McKenzie.
You know.
You're Bob McKenzie. Yeah. You're breaking it. Like, I'm hearing this.
I love
ridiculous.
That.
All my buddies, they're fired up about it. I will say that.
Of course.
And if he needs a place to stay, I'm sure a lot of my buddies would.
I'm sure that's what he wants.
Yeah.
Gary from St. Albert. He'll open the door to the Hyman family. Here he is, longtime member of the Leafs. Now he's officially a Maple Leaf alumni.
Yeah.
Needs the jacket.
Yeah.
And the alumni box will be waiting for him. But now he's the newest member of the Edmonton Oilers, Zach Hyman. How you doing, Zach?
I'm good. I'm still a friend of the show, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, very.
Forever, man. That's never going to come to an end. And listen, Noodles is ecstatic. He's an Edmonton boy, and... His buddies are jacked up for you.
I know. My buddies are super pumped. I've always prefaced my comments as I'm excited for players, and you're a friend of the show. You'll always be a friend of the show. I have friends in the Edmonton organization. I have friends in the Calgary. I'm happy for the scenario. You know, tell us the whole process and how it unfolded and, you know, how you ended up choosing Edmonton.
Yeah, obviously it was a big secret, so excited that it was, you know, made official today, and you know, super excited about the opportunity to go there. And everybody knows the players that they have there, and you know, for me it was a parallel situation to Toronto in the sense of my role and what I could do. And you know, I thought that I could even take a greater step in going to Edmonton and you know, potentially going there to win a Stanley Cup. That's the goal, and I think that you know, we're positioned in a great spot to do that. And as for the process, obviously, it was an emotional roller coaster, and obviously, you know, you tried to work things out with Toronto, and once that door closed, I think that it was pretty clear to me that Edmonton was the place that I wanted to be, and you know, obviously made the decision to take a trip out there, and it was the only place I visited, and really happy with the decision.
So this has been an ongoing discussion all year. You know the way, you know, this show operates, the market operates. Everyone's wondering what's going to happen with Hyman. What's the contract going to look like? What's the dollar amount going to look like? But ultimately, Leaf fans wanted you back. You know, everyone, you're unanimously loved here in the city for the most part. And I get the impression, based on what you just said in conversations in the past, that that probably was your hope. But at what point did it become clear that maybe the dollars just weren't going to work because of the cap situation in Toronto? And how difficult was that to kind of conclude that you might have to move on from a team you love playing for and leaving a city that you grew up in?
Yeah, no, it was difficult for sure. I mean, I don't want to get into the negotiations too much. I think, you know, I have a lot of respect for Kyle and Shanny and the entire, you know, Maple Leaf organization, and really grateful for how much, you know, they've helped my career develop, and the coaches, you know, Babs, who believed in me, and Kiefer, really helped me excel. So just really grateful for the opportunity in Toronto. And, you know, for me, one of the most important things was, you know, security and knowing that I'll be in a place for a long time. And in Edmonton, I, you know, I got that security, and, yeah, I have a young family, and excited to move out there and to grow my family and to win there. So I'm not going to comment too much on the negotiations, but you know, I think that there's a lot of mutual respect between myself and the organization.
Once you were looking at Edmonton, how much did 97 factor in playing with him?
No, I mean, I think he's a pretty good player, obviously.
Not bad.
No, I mean, I was saying on a couple other interviews that, you know, in the past we've only seen him twice a year, and this year we got to see him nine times. So it's a lot different when you see a player nine times than it is two. And seeing him and Leon and really the rest of the team, and seeing how talented they are, obviously factored into my decision. I wanted to go to a place where I thought I had a strong chance of winning, and you know, those guys are determined to win, and there's been a lot of heartbreak in Edmonton, and there's been a lot of heartbreak in Toronto. So going to you know, a hungry group was really important to me, and I can sense that from those guys. And obviously they're both generational type players, so if I have a chance to play with those guys, it's going to be pretty exciting.
Well, it's incredible, the parallels. I mean, when you look at right. Toronto, like Matthews, Tavares, McDavid, Draisaitl, all four of them great centers, and you played with Matthews, you played with Tavares at different times, and it, you know, you hear from players all the time that say, you know, I'm looking forward to playing with a player of that capability, but you've had that experience. You know, those guys are different. McDavid and Draisaitl are different, but Matthews and Tavares are great players. So that, I'm assuming, Zach, will probably make it easier for you. And maybe you don't have to deal with any stress in terms of that transition, because you've played this role. You've played with great players, really, throughout your time here in Toronto.
Yeah, definitely. I think from a hockey fit, it couldn't have been better. So for me, when I look at my role and the opportunity there, you know, I've been fortunate, like you said, to play with great players in Toronto, and I'm comfortable playing with really, really good players. And in Edmonton, the opportunity there is, you know, massive. So for me, it was a no-brainer from a hockey standpoint. And then it was just about going out there and visiting and making sure my wife was comfortable, and she was. And it was, you know, it's a great spot to raise a family. So just excited about it.
Well, I'm glad you were able to take her out in the summer, because if you took her out in November, you probably wouldn't have signed the deal. Because I, as you know, I grew up in Edmonton, and there were times where I wore a balaclava in my house. It was so cold. So you might have a little bit of culture shock that way, but I've always had a soft spot. And I joke about Edmonton as much, because I grew up in St. Albert, and like I say, my family and friends are there. But it is a different animal, especially in the winter. And it's going to be a different travel schedule. Is that something that you had to factor in as well? Because, you know, you go on long road trips. It's not in the East. You're pretty much in your bed every night by midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning if you did play on the road in the East Coast.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, from a weather perspective standpoint, you know, Toronto gets cold. I'm sure Edmonton gets colder, and that's fine. Like, as a hockey player, you go to the rink, you go to the rink, you come home, and that's pretty much your day. So I don't know if I'll be spending too much time outside. And, you know, my wife is extremely supportive, and she's excited. Like, the neighborhoods that we could live in are really, really nice. And, you know, in the past, when I would go to Edmonton, especially the last year, you'd come in and you'd go to the hotel and you were not able to see the city. So being able to see the city was awesome.
What do you expect the experience to be like when you come back to Toronto and play the Leafs for the first time?
I'm just glad it's a little bit later in the year and not in the first week or so. I expect it to be emotional, obviously, for me, you know, being from Toronto and having, you know, really close relationships with the players and not just the players, but, you know, the therapists and the equipment managers and just the whole organization. And I was the guy who spent his whole summer there, so I was there year round. So really developed these strong personal relationships with everybody in the organization. So sure, it will be emotional, but I'm glad we only play them twice.
Well, you make lifelong friendships regardless what team you play on. So was there maybe tough conversations or guys with, you know, with guys on the Leafs where you're like, hey, I'm actually going to move on here? Like, you know, you don't have to talk about specifics, but were there some tough conversations where you had to let your teammates or your former teammates know that you're moving on?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, I had a bunch of conversations, and you know, they all understood the position that I was in, and I think that you know, as much as you want hockey to be, you know, familial, I guess it's very much a business, obviously, and at the end of the day, you have to do what's right for you and your family, and for me, it was to go to Edmonton. So I think that you know, those conversations are always hard. It was actually crazy because I didn't tell too many people I was visiting Edmonton. I tried to keep it under the radar, and obviously that backfired because it got out pretty
quick. Good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, that so one circulated quickly.
You needed to go in there and wear a beard and a mustache for people to not recognize you. As you know, Edmonton's not the same magnitude as far as size of Toronto, but they're just the fan base.
Diehard fans.
Just as passionate.
I know. I was wearing a mask and a hat, too. So, like, I'm like, there's no way somebody's going to recognize me with my eyes. And sure enough, it happened. So.
Probably Jason Strudwick. Strutty down at the airport. Just checking in. There he is. Hyman's in town. And, yeah, we saw that getting reported. We're like, okay, we'll see where this goes.
Yeah, or the flight manifest.
Absolutely. Well, where was Zach Hyman? You know, the city's done that with, like, Kawhi when he flew in.
Yeah.
I remember when Babcock got signed. Like, the people were tracking the plane.
Yeah, I think it was website, like Maple Leaf Hot Stove.
Yeah, like, there's a flight coming in.
Yeah, like, it was like, holy smokes.
Yeah, and I mean, you grew up here, Zach, so you knew, I'm sure you knew what to expect, or you had an idea of what to expect, but did it match your expectations now that you look back on it and the journey's over here in Toronto? How much did you love the experience? How unique was it? And when you're a boy dreaming about it, did it exceed those dreams?
Yeah, it did. I wrote a letter to Leafs Nation just a little while ago, so it had, you know, kind of my insight into it just in a short little couple paragraphs. But yeah, like, it, you know, everybody talks about how difficult it was or it is to play in Toronto, but for me it was the opposite. It was the best place to play early on in my career, and just to develop and have my, you know, support system around me and have my friends and family attend games as I start my NHL career. And you know, I grew up idolizing, you know, Toronto Maple Leafs, and then to be able to be a Leaf and you're in the same room as you know, Gary Roberts and Darcy Tucker, and you're just talking to them like a normal person, and you're the one who's the Leaf. It was just surreal really early on, and you know, I thought it really helped me in my career and just maintaining my energy and just bringing it every night, just because I knew how special and how important it was to not just me, but to an entire fan base, and, you know, try to inspire kids the way that, you know, the guys I looked up to inspired me. So, it, you know, it meant a lot to me, and it was a really exciting chapter in my life, and something that I'll always be proud of.
And on top of that, you had Sokolov lawyers backing you the whole ride, Zach. So what happens? Do they have an office and a practice Edmonton? In Edmonton, or what goes on with Sokolov?
Oh, man. Yeah, I know. You're going to have to change the commercial.
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned about that. Yeah.
Lots of businesses that'll be welcoming you in Edmonton.
Absolutely.
That's good.
Yeah. The 50-50 too, man. You got to be prepared for that. The 50-50 in Alberta
is crazy.
Imagine
if you bought a ticket before the game.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I think you got it. You we'll give you money if you can buy us tickets. And if you win, we'll split it and we'll try to figure that out at some point. But it's been a great ride for you here in Toronto, and we can't wait to see what you do in Edmonton. 7 years. You're walking onto a really good team, playing with great players, and we wish you nothing but success. We thank you for all the access over the years. We'll continue to have you on in the future. You're always going to be a friend of the show here.
Yeah.
And congrats on the deal. Good luck in Edmonton, and thank you for doing this.
Thanks, guys. No, I appreciate it, and wishing you guys all the best.
Yep, you got it. There is Zach Hyman of the Edmonton Oilers. And, that got sniffed out pretty quickly. Like, Jason Greger, I think, was like, Hyman's here. Like, he's in Edmonton doing the tour. And, listen, they're a really good team. And he's going to be riding shotgun with two of the best players in the world. So he's going to be very comfortable. He's familiar with that. Like you said, I'm comfortable playing with great players.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what he'll be bringing to the table.
He'll fit in nice there.
Absolutely. All right, Noodles, you're out of here?
Yes.
Good seeing you, buddy.
We'll chat soon.
We will chat very soon. Have a great summer. I mean, Labor Day's right around the corner.
I know.
As we know, Kristen Shilton's coming in studio. Dreg's coming up in the next hour as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.